Well, I'd appreciate your prayers this afternoon. Lord, bless His word to us. Written on the board, the words, grace to help. You may know where that comes from, where we're going to be turning. But I'd like for us to consider the idea of grace to help. You ever need help? Thinking about having a job, a project that you're trying to work on, I found that it makes so much of a difference if you have the right tools for the job. Because tools make quite a difference. Tools are designed to help you. They're designed to help make a job easier or more efficient or more effective with the use of a tool. Man found that out years and millennia ago, how to apply some basic physics to help themselves with the jobs that they have. I believe some evidence of that would be the pyramids that we see constructed in Egypt that are still standing today. It still baffles scientists of how they could have done it. But if you look at the use of simple tools, the example of a pulley, by a strategic use of pulleys, you can lessen the force that you have to apply to accomplish something. You have, for instance, one pulley and you've got 100 pounds that you want to lift up. You can apply 50 pounds of force and lift that by the use of help, by something that bigger than what I can move or accomplish on my own. But if I have some help to be able to do it, give another example of a lever. If you take a long pole and you need to try to get a rock or something heavy, a heavy object lifted up, if you take a fulcrum and you place it close to it and you take a long pole that's sturdy and use that as a lever, you can apply a whole lot more force to get something done than what you could on your own. And your own strength. If I were to just reach down and try to lift that boulder or rock, could never do it. But if I take and I have the use of some help, what a difference it makes. Yesterday I had a trailer that I was trying to load onto the back of the truck. And it was sitting down pretty low and kind of partly frozen to the ground, and so I tried lifting it and I felt something pulling in my back. So, Evan, come help me. I need some help here. This is more than what I want to exert the energy and the effort of trying to accomplish here in my own. So I'd like for us to turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, is a wonderful promise and a hope that's offered to us of a rest. If Joshua had given us this rest, then we would not have looked for a rest that was still to come. It's talking about a spiritual rest that we have in Jesus Christ that's offered unto us, where we can cease from our own labors, from our own works, our own efforts trying to accomplish something, accomplish our own righteousness, and we can rest in the Lord. And so he said, let us not come short of that promise that the Lord has for us. And let us labor, therefore, verse 11, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. I'd like for us to look at the 14th verse. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I am so thankful today that the Lord didn't just turn us loose, or the Lord didn't just come and teach a way to live and show an example and live a life and then go on and say, you're on your own now. Good luck to you. You turn the other cheek when you're smitten and you love your enemies and you don't harbor hatred in your hearts or adulterous thoughts in your mind and all of that, and you're on your own now. Man had tried for many, many years to be able to do that, and the Lord had a system and a process under the old law whereby they could find atonement for their sins, forgiveness for their sins, but not the grace to be able to live above it, to be able to rise above that, the help. Grace, I know, is used in a variety of different ways and different definitions perhaps that you think of when you think of grace. The unmerited favor of God and so forth. People use grace as the Apostle Paul even addressed. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Is that the idea of grace? Is that what grace is? We live under grace, so that means we just, it's a blank check of mercy and forgiveness from here on out for whatever we commit and do. Is that the idea of grace? Paul answered his own question there. Shall we continue in sin? Using that definition of grace or that reliance on grace, God forbid. That's not what the grace of God does for us. The scripture here says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain first mercy. That's what I need before anything else. Lord, I need mercy for my own soul. Lord, would you forgive me? Would you have mercy upon my own soul? Because I'm surely in need of it. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. Lord, I need your help. But before we dwell too much there on that, the throne of grace, the idea and the picture of God sitting in a place of power, of dominion, of authority, of ability to administer the help that's needed. Now think of Queen Esther, the story in the book of Esther. Whenever she was in a place, her own husband, the king, didn't know of her nationality and the plot that was uncovered of, eventually, of the destruction, the killing of the Jewish nation. Esther was in a place, and Mordecai and the Jews were in a place, they realized, we need help. We need this situation to change. Who's going to change a situation like that? Who's going to stand up and defy a nation and a people like that and say, this isn't going to happen? I have the authority or I have the power to stop this, but we need some help here. We need something to change. We need a situation to be turned around here. Can you help us? Esther, this is your time. Esther, who knows but what you've come into the kingdom for such a time as this. But can you imagine how helpless Esther felt? What can I do? How am I going to be able? I'm sure her heart bled for her nation and her people and to think what was lying ahead for them. But what can I do? How can I change this? As I imagine probably Moses and Aaron felt as well. Lord, what am I going to do? Pharaoh's already said no. How am I going to change this situation? Lord, we need help. So Esther approached and she asked and sent the petition out. Fast and pray. Let's seek the Lord together because I'm willing to do my part. And we have a part to play. We have a responsibility that the Lord wants us to be willing to do our part. But we hit our limitation pretty quickly. And the Lord wants us to realize, I need help. So she went and the day came that she decided to approach the king. She had made up her mind, asked again the people to be praying for. But there was a law that said if you came uninvited unto the throne there before the king. You did it at risk of your own life. The penalty of which, if the king didn't extend favor to you, you lose your life. And so she went with an understanding of the stakes here. That understanding that if he doesn't have mercy, if he doesn't extend favor to me here, I lose my own life and my nation's at stake as well. Oh Lord, I need more help than what I can offer. But she went under the throne and the king extended favor to her. You know, I see a parallel in that picture. Except a king who's so much more righteous and loving. The scripture says, let us therefore come boldly. Boldness not in our own works or our own grace, our own merits, but in the merit of the shed blood of Christ. The scripture says in 1 John, herein is our love perfected, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. In a day when knees are quaking and every knee is bowing and confessing that Jesus is Lord and that He is the Savior of mankind. At a time like that when people are crying for the rocks and the mountains to cover them. Yet through the wondrous gift of God, we can have boldness. We can have courage and we can have confidence in coming to the Lord. That I don't have to come timidly. I don't have to come wondering. I don't have to live my life under a shadow of accusation and doubt and fear. But the Lord has paid the price that we might be able to come not timidly but boldly to the throne of grace with an assurance that the Lord has the help that I need in my time of need. Let us therefore come boldly. That scripture follows the one we read that we have an high priest who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted like we are. He felt the things that we feel. And it's followed then with, let us therefore come boldly. Because of this, this is a benefit that's made available to every one of us. So are we availing ourselves of it? Let us therefore not fall short of it. The scripture warns us, I believe in the 12th chapter of Hebrews, that we are to take heed unto ourselves, lest any man should fail or fall short of the grace of God. The grace that the Lord has available unto us. Think of the phrase, I believe it's on the Statue of Liberty. It says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to be free. Folks, we have a great high priest who welcomes and invites. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I have rest for you. You know, there are things in our lives that we have to deal with, that we have to approach, that we have to handle, people, situation, needs that we have to encounter, that we can go about in our own strength, trying to brute force our way through things. And there are times I found sometimes big things that, Lord, I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what to do here. You've got to move this mountain out of the way. But you know, there are times in my life that there are smaller things that I can, if I'm not careful, begin to think, oh, I've got this one. I can take care of this one. Folks, the scripture and the message this afternoon is to encourage us. The Lord has made available to us help. Just like those simple machines, if I need to move something, I need to do something, I can go and budge and put all my force to it and all my strength until I'm aching and my back and my head hurts and I'm tired and I'm worn out and I just can't go and I haven't moved a thing. I haven't changed a thing. You know, we can go through life that same way. I am trying and trying and trying and working so hard at it. And the Lord says, come to me. Come boldly to the throne. Have you stopped and asked me? I can help you with that. You know, the Lord is able to reach down when He sees us struggling and yearning and trying so hard. The Lord says, I have the answer for that. I can help you through that. If you'll let me. If you'll give me the chance to step in. Now, remembering college, I had some courses that I wondered sometimes how I was going to get through them. Subjects that just weren't real intuitive to me. Lessons that I'd go through and I'd get to the end of it and think, I didn't understand a thing you said. That doesn't make any sense to me. That's above my head. And it would leave me at times feeling discouraged and I don't know if I'm going to get this or not. But you know, I believe in just about every case, at the start of the year, the professor, as he went through the syllabus and he described the coursework and schedule and those kind of things, would talk about the fact that I have office hours. And if you ever need help, here's the times that you can come and I'll sit down with you, whatever your question, and I'll help you. Well, I did a few times go and seek help, and I remember one time in particular, I think the professor himself almost gave up on me. There was a bit of a language barrier too, but it seemed like he had a hard time knowing how to get across and explain in a way I could understand. And I left frustrated. I left discouraged. I still don't get it. That didn't help me. Many times I remember though, telling on myself, I'd get out of a class like that and I didn't really understand and my head hurt and I was tired and I just wanted to go home and relax or get out in the fresh air. And the last thing I wanted to do was go sit down with this professor that I didn't understand in the first place and say, would you take me through this? Would you help me with this? But you know, it was something that was made available to me. It was something that if I ever was struggling, I could continue struggling. I could continue through on my own, scratching my head and trying to figure it out and struggling my way through it. And it doesn't make sense. It's not coming together. I just can't make this thing work. Or I could stop and go do something that sometimes is hard for me to do. I need help. Maybe it's more so for men. Maybe it's just me. I need help. No, I don't have this one. I need help with this. Could you help me with it? Lord, help us not to ever be that way with Him. At times, whenever in life I'm tired, I'm frustrated, I don't know the answer, I don't know how to do this, I've been trying to do the right thing. I've been working at this, Lord. I'm tired. I don't know what to do with it. The song we sometimes sing, it's a familiar one to us. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. When the Lord is saying, my child, I can help you with that. You're working so hard. You're trying so hard in your own strength here. Let me help you. And the Lord has the grace to help. I'd like for us to consider this definition of grace from the Greek dictionary that I have. Divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. The Lord's divine influence on our heart. Divine is something that's not natural. It's not something of my own working, of my own doing that I've worked, I've studied, I've concentrated, I've put enough effort into this that I've finally been able to do it. That's not what this divine influence is. This divine influence is something that is, pardon my simplicity, it is divine. It comes from the Lord. It's something where the Lord moves on the scene, where the Lord says, let me help you with that. Let me influence your heart here. Let me influence your mind. You're struggling with maybe unforgiveness here. You're struggling for grace here. Let me help you with that. And the Lord is able. Oh, what a mystery. What a mystery. I can't explain how the Lord does it sometimes. Whenever it just seems like dark clouds overhead and I can't see through and I don't even understand why and I'm just struggling and I can go to the Lord and pour out my burdens and my problems to Him. And there's just, the Lord has a way. The Lord has ways of doing what I could never try it all year, figure out how to do, to just influence my heart, to change the feeling that I'm struggling with. Divine influence upon the heart and its reflection then in the life. The grace of God is about so much more than something that's an umbrella to cover a shabby life that I live, that I continue living on it. But it is the divine influence upon my heart to do what I could not otherwise do. Whenever I'm between a rock and a hard place and I just don't know if I can get through this one. And the Lord says, let me help you. Some of this weather we've been having, you try to drive and especially if you're a rear wheel drive vehicle and it's light in the back, it doesn't take very long until you feel your traction give way. Until you feel it, your tires start slipping. And if it's deep enough, if it's slick enough, there's just not much you can do. And it'll just sit and you can push the pedal down harder if you want and the tires will just spin faster. But I have a little knob on the dash of my truck. It says four-wheel drive. If you'll allow me to use the analogy, folks, sometimes we need four-wheel drive. Sometimes we're in a place that I'm struggling. I'm slipping. It seems like the tires are spinning, but I'm not getting anywhere. I'm trying to do the things that I know to do. I'm trying to be faithful. I'm trying to stand firm and I'm trying to forgive and I'm trying to love and I'm trying to be patient and I'm trying and it seems like I'm just not getting anywhere. The Lord wants me to come boldly to the throne of grace. Lord, I need help. Lord, would you give me a little extra traction here? Lord, I've been just spinning in this place for a while and I don't know how to get out of it. The Lord has the grace to help us in our time of need. You remember what the Lord told the Apostle Paul? Paul was doing exactly this. He was bringing to the throne of grace a need and a petition that he had. Lord, three times, Lord, would you heal me? Would you deliver me from this thorn in the flesh? Whatever it might have been, maybe we're not exactly sure, but it was a thorn in the flesh that was very troubling and that felt like a great hindrance unto him. And he sought the Lord. He came to the Lord and, Lord, would you please help me? Would you please take care of this? I'd like to say with that, three times he sought the Lord. Coming boldly to the throne of grace is not just a no answer. I'm going to go on my way. But we remember the story of the widow and the unjust judge. That widow didn't just tap a little bit and go away discouraged. I need help here. I need something. Lord, I need something. Please open up. Please have mercy on me. And the Lord said he gave that parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Whenever it seems like at first the answer doesn't come, Lord, would you help me with this? And Lord, I'm still struggling here. Lord, would you help me with this? Lord, I need your grace. I need your help. Lord, show me if there's something here that I need to take care of, that I need to change, and really getting in earnest before the Lord. Lord, I need your help here. The Apostle Paul in seeking the Lord three times. Lord, this thing is still weighing on me. I still have this problem. I've sought you and I've done what I know to do. Having done all to stand, having done everything I know to do, stand and let the Lord move. And so as he had sought the Lord three times, the answer finally came. But it wasn't the answer, of course, that he was looking for. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." Sufficient, I don't believe, means barely enough. I don't believe it means there's just almost enough. There's a song we sing that says, "His grace is free as the air we breathe. We may each have a full supply, but my grace is sufficient" means it's enough. The grace that I have for you is everything you need. It's not going to leave you shortchanged. It's not going to leave you in a place where you have to conclude at the end of it, "Lord, that wasn't enough. Lord, that didn't cut it. That didn't do it." It is adequate. It is sufficient. It is enough for us. Oh, I'm so thankful for his all-sufficient supply of the help that we need in our lives. He went on to say, the Apostle Paul, as he found that grace, as he started to get the traction of that grace, he said, "I will rather therefore glory in my infirmity." There's grace. That's what grace will do for you. The divine influence on the heart. "Lord, I see it differently now. I was so focused. This is the way it's got to be. This is the answer that's got to come. That I was so focused on that. But Lord, as I sought you, and it wasn't the answer I looked for. But Lord, I realize your way is best. Lord, I'll rather glory in my infirmity, because this is the chance." He said, "When I am weak, then am I strong." And Lord, I realize more now my weakness, my insufficiency, my inadequacy, that I don't have enough. I am not enough in myself. Lord, I am relying on you every day. Every step is the song that's sung. I always think of the sister in Holly Hill. "I can't even walk without you holding my hand." Lord, help us not to get into a place that I start to feel that I'm sufficient in myself, that I start to feel like I can handle this one. This is small stuff. I can take care of this. No problem. When the Lord's saying, you don't have to expend all your energy. You don't have to exhaust yourself. But I have a rest for you. I have a place in me that you can come and you can lay your burdens at my feet and leave it there. And you can find my grace is sufficient for you. That my grace is all you need. It'll be there. He said, find grace to help us in time of need, right in the time that we need it. Oh, there's a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and I'm so thankful for it. Just recently, I got a text message from a brother. It had a scripture in it, and a note saying, "I've been thinking about you and praying for you." And you know, that scripture was exactly what I needed for that day. It gave me a boost. It gave me some courage that I was needing in something that I was going through. I am so thankful for timely help. It's like, what's the scripture? It says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It's beautiful. It's fitting. It's just exactly what I need at the very time that I need it. Folks, that is the friend that the Lord is. He knows when our need is. He may not come and pour the abundant supply of, there are times of overflowing. But the Lord knows when I need grace. And chances are the Lord, we talked about persecution this morning. The chances are the Lord's not going to give me a martyr's grace until I'm a martyr. And at the time, whenever, if that time should come in our lives, that it's our turn to face martyrdom, I am convinced that we'll find from this same throne of grace. Folks, I could go to the professors at a certain time of the week for a couple hour window in the week when I needed help, and that only certain weeks and for a certain period of time. This throne of grace is open 24/7. It never closes. He's never away as Elijah mocked the worshipers of Baal. He's never away on vacation or holiday. He's never off traveling. He's never distracted. He's never perplexed. He's never at a loss for what to do. His office hours are 24/7, that I can come boldly unto him. Lord, I need help with this. Lord, it seems like sometimes I ought to be able to handle this one. Lord, I've been trying to live for you for a while. It doesn't seem like I should be struggling with this. Lord, I need help. I need help here. And at the time of need, the Lord is always faithful. The testimonies of those who were martyred have been such a challenge to me. No doubt there's fear that every one of them had to face like any of us would. And yet the testimony of those who would stand at the stake and who had a song on their lips and singing praises to the Lord as they lit the fire and had told the congregation in one instance, "If you see me clapping my hands, you know I've got victory in my soul." And as the fire and the flames and the pain of that searing through his body, unless the Lord through his grace took it away, yet those hands with the flesh starting to melt off, they saw reaching out of the flames and clapping their hands together. I've got grace. I've got victory in my soul. And folks, it'll be the same for us. Whatever our time of need is, whatever place the Lord allows us to come to, he'll never bring us to a place, but what his grace will keep us. His grace will already be there for us to meet our need, to be enough, to be sufficient for us. If it's a small test, maybe it's small grace, but it'll be enough for us. And when I get to a martyr's stake, if I should ever get there, I'll find a martyr's grace, because that's what the help in time of need is. The Lord knows what our need is. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. There are times that we may not know what one another is going through fully. And there are times, Lord, help me to do a better job of it. To be able to do as that brother did to me in a text message just in the right time. Lord, help me to feel the nudging of your spirit. But folks, there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Whether my brethren here and sisters know anything about what I'm going through, there is one that sees, that knows, is touched with the feeling of my infirmities. There's nothing that escapes his eye, that he's looking and watching and saying, "I know what you're feeling. I know what you're going through right now. I've been there myself. I know just how you feel right now." That's why the scripture says that he didn't take on him the nature of an angel, but he took on him the nature that we all have, that he might be in all points tempted like we are, that he might be able to be there on the right hand of God saying, "Father, Father, send your angel down to give them strength right now. You said you wouldn't put on them more than they're able to bear, and I know how much that is. Lord, would you go and minister to them right now? Give them grace and strength at this moment." The Lord knows at all times when that time of help is needed. He knows exactly the word that I need. He is our song in the night, the lifter up of mine head. Whenever I'm overwhelmed, Lord, help me to cry out from the ends of the earth. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Lord, I need something here. I'm in a desperate strait here. David was in a place that felt like and looked like all men were forsaking him, his own people and his wife and all the women and children had been kidnapped out of the city, and the people turned now in his time of distress and say, "Let's stone this guy." And it said David encouraged himself in the Lord. just in the right time, just whenever it was needed. Lord, I need something here. Lord, I don't have very long, and you know what I need. No doubt the Lord bringing back to his mind times past. Maybe it was a picture in his mind of a lion and bear that he slew, or a giant falling before him, and a reminder. David, I'm still with you. David, don't lose heart. Don't be discouraged, David. I've got something for you. Just hold on. And I'm thankful that the Lord will do that for every one of us. The Lord has grace to help us in our times of need. You pray for me. Amen.